time now for the 12:15 news, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft furniture. Today's WFIW WOKZ weather forecast calls for sunny skies with a high of 40. Tonight, cloudy with a low of 23. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting the news. Wayne County Treasurer Donna Masterson says she has decided to retire at the end of her current term, which expires November 30, 2022. She was appointed to the position in 2002 to replace Gayla Cox, and she says she thoroughly enjoys meeting taxpayers each year at tax time. She says she's proud of the accomplishments made during her tenure, including introducing credit card payments, installing a Dropbox for after-hour payments, and instituting a prepayment option for monthly payments. Masterson thanked her family, friends, and citizens of the county for their support in her years of service. Wayne County 4-H Program Coordinator Yvette Anderson has announced she will run for Wayne County Treasurer in the upcoming election cycle, and she would resign her 4-H position if elected. Anderson says she has served the public her entire adult life, working at Wayne City Schools for 15 years handling activity accounts and working in hospice care before joining the Extension. She also worked with payroll and record books for family companies, and she has a bachelor's degree in technical management. Primary elections will be in June, and the general election will be in November. More news next.
Fairfield Memorial Hospital's Orthopedic Services wants you to know that you don't have to deal with the hassle of driving out of town. Dr. Corey Blanc, MD, and PA Rebecca Blanc sees patients here in Fairfield. Dr. Blanc provides services such as total hip, knee, and shoulder replacements and many more orthopedic surgeries. Call 618-847-4282 to make your appointment today. Fairfield Memorial Hospital, excellence in community health care.
In other news, minor injuries were reported in a two-vehicle accident about a mile south of Fairfield Saturday afternoon. According to county deputies, at approximately 4:33, 61-year-old Fairfield resident Mark A. Hilliard was southbound on Highway 45 in a 2015 Chevy 1500 and stopped while waiting to turn east onto a county road. He was rear-ended by a 2018 Chevy Cruze, driven by 29-year-old Fairfield resident Nathan L. Tollison. Both refused treatment at the scene, and Tollison was cited for failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. A tow truck was called, and the vehicles sustained over $1,500 damage. Several Fairfield residents were arrested by Fairfield police and booked in the Wayne County Jail over the weekend. 30-year-old Carissa M. Nino Taylor was arrested on a charge of possession of methamphetamine and held pending the setting of bond. 21-year-old Autumn R. Schnepper was arrested on a Wayne County failure to appear warrant for domestic battery, and she was held pending the posting of $845 bond. 26-year-old Rachel M. Hutchinson was arrested on a Wayne County warrant for felony theft and held pending the posting of $770 bond. 32-year-old Brian W. Williams was arrested on a Clay County failure to appear warrant for possession of meth and possession of a hypodermic syringe. He was held for transport to Clay County. The Fairfield City Council will meet tomorrow at 6 at City Hall. The council is anticipated to approve a resolution pledging the city's roughly $72,000 in TIF surplus funds for construction of the Wayne County Senior Citizen and Community Center. It's also scheduled to approve ordinances for TIF redevelopment agreements with McBride Asset Management LLC for the Save-A-Lot building and with Legs Manufacturing Company. Both items were recommended by the TIF committee earlier this month. Aldermen are also likely to approve a revolving loan to Ed Potts for One Step Ahead and HME. In other action, the council is scheduled to purchase membranes for the water filtration plant and discuss a potential hotel. The Fairfield Public School District 112 Board of Education will meet tonight at 6 in the Center Street Boardroom. The night will begin with a public hearing on waiving the limitation of administrative costs, and action is anticipated. The board is set to discuss, and possibly act on, the pledging of TIF money for the Senior Citizen and Community Center. Other action items include approving the employment of a superintendent search firm, approving the FY21 audit, a bid for insurance, a date change for the December board meeting, and paraprofessional substitute wages. Board members will enter closed session to discuss personnel and pending litigation before returning for personnel items, where they're expected to rehire long-term substitutes for December and employ a paraprofessional. The Fairfield Community High School varsity scholastic team took fourth place in the IHSS-BCA kickoff tournament on Saturday. FCHS won over Flora A, Flora B, and Robinson, and fell to Carterville, Effingham St. Anthony, Johnston City, and eventual champion Carbondale. Senior Trenton Jones and junior Cale Simpson were named to the all-tournament team. Simpson paced the Mules with 24 answered toss-ups. Jones added 23, Hunter Biggs added 3, Connor Dagg answered 2, and Aiden Whitfield had 1. Also participating were Kyan August, Chloe Draper, Tyler Coker, Avery Stentz, and Cody Wick. Illinois State Police Division of Criminal Investigation Zone 8 was requested to conduct a death investigation in Grayville yesterday morning. At approximately 2:04, police discovered the body of a 34-year-old man in the 100 block of East Sycamore Street. The cause and manner of death are undetermined at this time and will be released by the Edwards County Coroner's Office after completion of a final autopsy and toxicology report. DCI Zone 8 was assisted by the Grayville Police Department, Edwards County Coroner's Office, ISP District 19, and ISP Crime Scene Services. The investigation is active and ongoing, and state police say no additional information will be released at this time. WADI says the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP, started in September, and the organization is actively writing applications for qualified families to receive assistance with their utility bills. Appearing on the Community Connection, Amy Hart says the pandemic has changed a few of the requirements for applying.
Because of COVID, the poverty level has been moved up to 200%, so the guidelines are actually pretty high. A single person living in a home can make up to $2,147 a month gross. Two in the family can make $2,903, three in the family $3,660, and so on. And there's a lot of families, you know, that are struggling and probably do not make that much each month, and that would qualify them by income. Another qualification is the utilities have to be in the person applying's name, and then they have to provide us with a copy of their Social Security card, utility bills, and then their last 30 days income. And that's what we use then to calculate and find out what their benefit would be.
Anyone on a disconnect notice or who has been disconnected from utilities should reach out to Hart at 842-2962. She says there are other programs available for people who don't qualify for LIHEAP.
If you're over income, but you've had a crisis, that we can help you with a couple months utility payments. That is called a homeless prevention program, and it's a new program that just started a couple weeks ago, and it can help pay arrearage is what it's called when you have back utilities due. It also can help if you are being evicted and need help with your rent to get it caught up to keep from being evicted, or if you're homeless and you do have a job, if you have what we call a sustainable income. In other words, you have enough to make the rent payment, utilities, and your daily needs. And for Wayne County, we kind of set that at $700 to $800. If you make that much a month and have had the crisis of being homeless, then we can assist you by paying your deposit and 2 months' rent.
She says WADI is down about 33 employees, so anyone wanting to work can fill out an application and look at a list of job openings. The organization plans to hold an open interview day in Fairfield on December 16th. Midwest Food Bank and the Clothesline in Fairfield are preparing for their annual Christmas food basket giveaway, and the groups are asking for donations. The giveaway will take place December 18th from 8 to 11 a.m. at Midwest Food Bank on Southwest 10th Street, and monetary donations are due by December 15th to either organization. Don Witter says they need $5,000 to fill baskets with ham, corn, green beans, mashed potatoes and gravy, cranberry sauce, and cake. Baskets will be available to up to 275 households in need and will be handed out via contactless drive-through. Witter said Friday they had already received about $1,100, and if they top $5,000, they can put more in each basket. Midwest Food Bank supplies food for 83 pantries in southern Illinois and the clothesline is a nonprofit business supplying new and used clothing and household items. All donations for the food basket giveaway should be made out and sent to Midwest Food Bank at 605 Southwest 10th Street or the clothesline at P.O. Box 15 in Fairfield. Anyone with questions should contact Don Witter at 516-1890. According to dph.illinois.gov, as of Friday afternoon, Wayne County had administered 12,270 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. 5,699 people, or 34.89% of the population, were fully vaccinated. The Edwards County Health Office said Wednesday 2,281 residents, or 35.7% of its population, were fully vaccinated. Wabash County said Wednesday 44.2% of its residents were fully vaccinated. Statewide, as of Friday, 57.43% of the population was fully vaccinated, including 68.61% of those over 18 and 83.86% of those at least 65. Again, per dph.illinois.gov, the latest 7-day positivity rate in Wayne County was 5.8%, with 701 total tests performed. The rate in Edwards County was 2.5% on Wednesday, and Wabash County had a 2.6% rate. Archery deer season got off to a slow start in Illinois, but things have picked up in recent weeks, according to Tim Schweitzer with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources.
There were, the first couple of weeks of the season, the weather was unseasonably warm, and harvest lagged a little bit. Harvest through this past Sunday statewide here in Illinois is at 47,700 plus preliminary total. That's a little short of what we saw during the same dates a year ago, but 2020 had the highest archery deer harvest ever in the state of Illinois, and to be a little lower than that is not a surprise. In fact, the harvest figures so far for 2021 are both higher than in 2018 and in 2019, so archery deer has picked up with the weather. Once the weather cooled off and the rut began, bow hunters have been having some success statewide.
The top five counties for archery deer harvest as of the 14th were Pike with 1,635, Jefferson, Fulton, Adams, and Macoupin with 920. Archery deer season began October 1st and runs through January 16th. It is closed during firearm deer weekends. This past weekend was the first firearm season, and the second is December 2nd through the 5th. The Illinois Department of Transportation has announced some improvements to its winter road conditions website. Kim Howard has more.
GettingAroundIllinois.com just got a makeover that will provide more localized information, says IDOT spokesperson Paul Wapple.
Instead of continuing to have the conditions by county, now the revamp map will show how weather events are impacting roads under the jurisdiction of more than 120 snow and ice team sections that work out of IDOT facilities all across the state. Conditions on interstates and U.S. routes, which carry the most traffic in the state of Illinois, will be given priority status and appear more boldly on the map. So this year, Getting Around Illinois is going to be an even better resource for anyone using Illinois roads.
The website, GettingAroundIllinois.com, is updated constantly 24 hours a day. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
That's the news. Area deaths next.
8 providers with 50 years combined experience. 6 locations. Wabash General Hospital makes it easy for you to choose your own care. Get award-winning orthopedic care when and where you need it with no referral necessary. Learn more about the Wabash General Hospital Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Team by calling Wabash General Hospital at 618-263-6400. Wabash General Hospital. People you know, helping people you love.
Currently in Fairfield, it's 34. It's time now to check the latest stock market numbers, brought to you by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones financial advisor, located at 101 East Delaware Suite A in Fairfield. The Dow was at 35,805, up 203 points. The NASDAQ is at 15,957. That is down 99. January crude oil, the latest on that, it's at $76.36. That is up 42 cents. This is Derek Dunn reporting for WFIW News.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 64-year-old Villa Park resident Roy Eugene Cravens died on Friday. Gene Cravens is survived by several aunts, uncles, and cousins. Services will be Tuesday at 11 at Real Life Church in Fairfield. Visitation will be from 10 to service time, and burial will be in Maple Hill Cemetery. 85-year-old Norris City resident Catherine Marie Obermeyer died on Thursday. Catherine Obermeyer is survived by her husband John, daughters Jan, Kathy, and Martha, and several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Services will be Saturday at 10 at Campbell Funeral Home. Visitation will be Friday from 3 to 6, and burial will be in the Oddfellows Cemetery. 53-year-old McLeansboro resident Jeffrey Farthing died on Saturday. Jeffrey Farthing is survived by children Levi, Colton, Natasha, and Heather, siblings Russell, Jeremy, Lenora, Betsy, Tony, and Anita, 8 grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. Services will be held at a later date. Golson Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. 95-year-old Albion resident Helen Ruth Curtis died on Tuesday. Services will be Tuesday at 1 at Ingram Meredith Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 10 to service time, and interment will be in Graceland Cemetery. 44-year-old Blueford resident Tim R. Sheradin died on November 11th. Services with military honors will be Wednesday at 4 at Maple Hill Cemetery. Nails Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
Is your family still growing? At Asbury & Associates, our expectant mothers are very special to us. While we strive to give the best care possible, we also want your experience to be comforting and memorable. Asbury & Associates physicians and certified nurse midwives specialize in all aspects of pregnancy. The miracle of life is one of God's greatest gifts, and we would be honored to share this milestone with you. Give Asbury & Associates a call, 618-244-4800.
I'm Jeremy Smith, and here's your Classic Hits WFIW 104.9 forecast. Today is calling for partly sunny skies with a high around 40. Overnight tonight will be mostly cloudy, then gradually become clear, low near 23. Tuesday is calling for sunny skies with a high of 47 and a low near 34. Partly sunny on Wednesday, high 55 with a low of 39. And rain likely before noon on Thanksgiving. Thursday's high will be 47 with a low near 22.